Time for us to get caught up with the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Chris Meyer heads things up and joins us now. Welcome back, man. How are you?
I'm good. Look, just a quick plug. We've been long supporters of Companion Animal Alliance. If we need some help there, Brian, I think that would be a good plug at this point in the show.
You're going to start here?
Well,
you started it. Just needling.
I just walked in on it.
Okay, first of all, to be clear, I don't hate dogs. I love dogs. We have three kids, which sounds like, hey, you should have a dog. We have three kids who are always doing something. I had a dog growing up. Love my dog. Love Sparky growing up. We had Sparky, and when Christy and I first got married, we had Nola. It was fantastic. But there's never a time where we're not running from practice to practice.
Totally. Totally.
So the poor dog's just going to be left at home alone?
Then you get two dogs.
Oh, jeez. There's no winning.
There's no winning.
All right. We got a lot to talk about here. I got to ask you a question about the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. And when I think of y'all, I think of mapping out where Baton Rouge could be. Mm-hmm. And then sifting through to find out where Baton Rouge should be, and then getting around to what Baton Rouge can be. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. I drive up Nicholson a lot.
Yeah.
Between downtown and LSU. I would love to see some movement here.
So you're referring to recently there were reports about the land in between LSU and downtown being purchased by Commercial Properties Realty Trust, which is a supporting organization of the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. Long story short, basically, 2 decades ago, a very generous donor decided to leave his company to the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. And that company exists to really support the philanthropic mission of BRAF. And in many cases, like the creation of the water campus, the partnership on the IBM building downtown, for example, revitalizing what is now the Hilton downtown. These were projects done in partnership with the community to sort of create and inject a catalyst into development. And so I can't speak about all the plans yet, but I will tell you what's really exciting is that I think we're at a moment where downtown, its revitalization, especially coming after the pandemic, especially after the sort of chamber focus when we took the trip to Greenville, South Carolina, and all the momentum from that, coupled with what LSU was doing in their athletics, entertainment spaces, I think that corridor really can be enlivened. I think it can expand what the water campus really is, focus much more on kind of resilience, the energy transformation happening in Louisiana. So this corridor really could be, I think, an injection in kind of the next phase of our growth of a city.
We have to remember that before it was on the riverside of Nicholson, just looking like a jungle. I mean, it's just a lot of overgrowth. But before that, there were a lot of blighted properties along way that all got torn down. And that was like step one. That was also like a decade ago, maybe longer.
So there's been a refresh. If you're driving down there now, you'll see that a lot of the land has been cleared. Those abandoned buildings have been gone. There were several. We engaged with horticulturalists to talk about the arborist, about the trees that were on the property. Mm-hmm. Several water oaks that they told us were near the end of their lifespan. So right now this phase is just cleaning it up so that you get some of that, overgrowth. So you get those abandoned buildings, which can attract crime and other things. Let's just get those out of the way. And then let's begin to engage the community and really enliven that corridor, which, again, I'm excited that it can be part of a much wider community plan that includes LSU and includes downtown.
Well, you feel like there's a natural feel that connecting LSU to downtown via Nicholson specifically, it's just made to order. It's right there for us.
Oh, my goodness. It's like a beach ball and a tee. I mean, we just have to, hit it down the middle of the fairway. And look, I think this is an example like a lot of our projects. We've been talking offline about the LSU Lakes, for example, which it was 10 years ago when we celebrated our 50th anniversary as a foundation that we looked around and realized nobody was really taking responsibility for the lakes.
Yeah.
There was finger pointing back and forth. They're controlled by multiple entities, LSU, the city, BREC. You had a lot of involvement. And, I think where the Baton Rouge Area Foundation really excels is kind of bringing people together and recognize that everybody actually had the same vision. They wanted to see the lakes revitalized. But it took a decade to sort of pull the parties together, figure out who can fund what, develop a master plan with the residents. And now finally we're beginning to see phase one and phase two kind of get off the ground. Money is committed to the projects. Equipment is in the lakes ready to start dredging. And so we'll see activity this month. that over the next couple of years will begin to revitalize and I think create a community asset that helps us with flood mitigation, access and safety, and wildlife. And so I think it really does become an amenity for everyone in this community.
Is there, and I know this is going to be a tricky word to address, but is there a permanence to what's being done with they're man-made lakes? They're originally swamp.
That's right.
You know, to quote Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, you know, nature finds a way, right? The odds of it going back to a swamp, can we do enough to make sure that a generation from now we're not seeing it repeat itself?
Yeah, look, I think part of the plan and what I'm really focused on is how do we maintain and sustain that progress? So I do think you're going to have to get on a schedule, whether it's every decade, every 15 years, that you have a program to come back in and make sure that you're kind of maintaining that depth that's really healthy, which they tell us is between 6 and 9 feet across the lakes. I think we're going to have to figure out what is the best long-term solution to maintaining the kind of pathways and lighting and sort of amenities that are around the lakes.
Yeah.
I think we really should think out of the box here. We've got great examples like Buffalo Bayou in Houston, which is actually run by a nonprofit where the city and corporations and others get involved and really maintaining and having a professional organization that whose sole job every day is to wake up thinking about that entity and it being world-class. And I think we're going to need to do something like that at the LSU Lakes. And obviously that's in partnership with LSU, the city, and all of our other friends. But we're beginning to have those conversation about what is the long-term strategy to make sure we don't end up where we were before.
Yeah. And Baton Rouge, look, I say this with nothing but love. Baton Rouge has a tendency to do things slightly smaller than it should be. And at the same time, do it once and then forget about it forever. Like the ongoing has been a problem for us in the past. The follow through, if you will. And yes, I know the quote from Jurassic Park is life finds a way, not nature finds a way. Work with me, Facebook. Anyway, we got Chris Meyer from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation in with us. Timeline on this project, because I saw the equipment out there. It's looking like a lot is about to get done. Timeline here not before the end of it, because it's a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
But before we see visible change?
I think over the next 6 months, you'll begin to see a lot of activity of what's being dredged up. And look, this is not going to be the pretty part of the project.
Right.
Because everything that's being dug up is going to be placed to form new kind of islands, new parks. You know, the work that's going to start on the May Street Bridge, which will happen towards the end of the year. They're still finishing kind of the design of that, but that is fully funded in this phase. That project will take at least 18 months to kind of get in place. So we are talking about a multi-year project here to both remove what is at the bottom of the lakes, allow it to be planted to form new land, allow that to dry out and then get planted and really turn into kind of the natural habitats and amenities we want. But again, if we have the patience, we've been working on this for a decade.
Yeah.
If we have the patience and we have the plan to sustain it, because this is not going to be a project like has been done before, then I think we can really get to something that's excellent. So that's what I'm shooting for, right? I think if we aim for that and hold people accountable to that, then I think we're going to see real results.
I think and the visibility of it, we all talk about the lakes as being beautiful and the front door via I-10, the front door to Baton Rouge and whatnot. That May Street Bridge is going to be, when you talk about visibility, especially at night, if it's well lit, it's going to be gorgeous. And right now it's just a road.
That's right. And it opens it up and, I mean, creates so many opportunities.
Yeah. We got Chris Meyer from the Baton Rouge Area Foundation with us. It's about city stats time.
Yeah, that's right.
Backstory here. I was looking for a follow-up on the Future EBR survey, and I reached out to you, and you're like, that's not our thing, but city stats is. So let's talk about last year, what we learned, and this year where we're headed. What did we learn through city stats last year?
Yeah, look, so, you know, I've been on the job a little over a year, and the first city stats that came out really sort of hit me in the face. For the first time ever, we saw that a majority of parents did not think the Baton Rouge would be a long-term prosperous home for their children. So a majority of parents were actually hoping that their children sort of made their adult lives somewhere else.
Yep.
And to me, that's a big warning sign for a community.
Yeah.
You know, and you and I were talking a little bit offline. I mean, while I want my own kids, I'm sure many parents want their kids to experience the world, to travel, to maybe go to college or take a job somewhere else. I think eventually we all would sort of hope that home is a place that they could come back to because it would afford them more opportunities than you and I had. And I think we saw last year in city stats that a majority of people in this parish in this region were saying, we don't know that that's the case. We don't know that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And that both saddens and fires me up because I believe in this place. I believe in this state. And I think when we come together and focus on big projects, I know we're talking about amenities like the lakes, but look, my past life was focused on education change in this community. Like when we put our minds to really big projects, we can get them done if we stay committed to them and finish them the right way. And so I really took that as a charge of, look, our community's telling us like things are not going in the right direction. They want to see change and they're willing to experience change. They also had a big belief, Brian, in the power of nonprofits and non-governmental entities like businesses really be the leaders of change. So they weren't looking to the government sector. And so that's really why I think in my first year, we've really focused on empowering the nonprofit sector with our new giving store, which you could talk about. And this year in City Stats, really thinking about, you know, what are those levers of opportunity, those big change moments that matter most to moving the needle on opportunity, on whether people think this is a place that provides more than less.
So I think I find myself in a weird spot because I'm one of those parents that wants my kid to go out, conquer the world, blaze your own trail, leave the nest and go form your path. Baton Rouge, don't take it personally. Like, I grew up in Covington. Covington is fantastic. I love Covington to pieces. But my path took me to Baton Rouge. I had no desire to move back into a house that was, you know, three blocks away from the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on St. Tammany Parish by any stretch. So is there a difference?
Well, I think the difference is, one, if your kids said to you actively, you know, should I come back and take XYZ job, do you think this is a place that, you know, me and then your grandkids could be successful? Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of parents telling their kids no.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, actively stay away. And I think that's the sort of feeling and sentiment. I think number two, you think about the number of college students we have here, the number of grads. I mean, we have one of the most diverse graduate bases anywhere in the country between Southern and LSU and throwing the mixed BRCC. And how many of those people stay?
Yeah, but right? Okay, perfect. But they didn't all come from Baton Rouge.
Totally, totally. But whomever it is, whether it's people already here that we want to encourage that this is a place you could make a prosperous life, or those we want to welcome into our community, I think we just want this to be a place that feels attractive. I do think it's a sticky place, but I want it to be attractive and magnetic, and I think we're seeing from a lot of people that they're worried about that, and it's time for, you know, in the Baton Rouge Area Foundation's case, we're going to focus on those levers that matter the most to whether this is a more prosperous community than not.
Got a minute and a half left. Tell me about the giving store.
Yeah. So look, one specific pillar was how do we help people in this community feel part of the change, being part of the solution? And for a long time at the Baton Rouge Area Foundation, you know, we have a set of donors that sort of put charitable assets with the foundation, and then they give those out to various nonprofits. But we wanted a way that really allowed anyone in this community, because we are a charitable and philanthropic people, to participate in giving to their favorite nonprofit, like maybe Companion Animal Alliance. So the Giving Store, I know. The Giving Store was our way. You've heard of Giving Tuesday. You've heard of 225 Gives. Those are really single-day events. The Giving Store is year-round. You can give on any given Thursday. And so what the Giving Store does is it creates an opportunity that you go to braf.org. You can see nonprofits. You can search by keywords, by themes, whatever motivates you. You can see real-time, actionable investment opportunities in nonprofits that are making a difference in our community. So if you care about a specific thing dealing with animals, you can go find two or three projects and give $5 or $100. Doesn't matter if you're a member of BRAF, a donor of BRAF, anyone can participate.
Where do you go to get to it?
BRAF.org.
BRAF.org. He is Chris Meyer with the Baton Rouge Area Foundation. We greatly appreciate the time, man.
Good to see you, Brian.